We're going to carry on in our current series about relational life together. How do we relate well in a very practical way? How do we actually have those relationships that honour each other and honour God as we seek to relate to one another? So I want to start this morning with a little story. Sorry, about a husband and a wife. And they go to a dinner party. And when they get to the dinner party, there's a conversation going on. It's quite a snobby dinner party, and the husband and wife aren't particularly snobby, but they're at this dinner party, and someone says, "I love Mozart. I love Mozart. Mozart's just fantastic." And so the wife chips in, truly part of the conversation, says, "I know, isn't he great? I saw him on the number 5 bus to Chelsea just this morning." The husband is furious, absolutely furious. He says to his wife, "We're leaving right now." She goes, "What have I done?" "We're leaving right now." So they get in the car and they're on their way home. And the husband's just... The wife's saying, "Well, what have I done?" He goes, "You made me look like an absolute fool in there. You know, I can't believe you said what you said." She goes, "What did I say?" He went, "Everyone knows the number 5 bus doesn't go to Chelsea." Today, I want us to look at some of the most important relationships in our life together. We've looked in our first part of this series at the reaction principle. How do we react to each other? Being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. We looked a few weeks ago at the 5 love languages. How do we speak love? How do we show love to each other? And this morning, I want us to think about the principle of relational health in the 3 key relationships in your life. The 3 key aspects of relationship in your life. And what are these? They're your marriage. They're the relationship between parents and children. And the relationship between employee and employer. And if you want to look at a passage which relates to these 3 big relational relationships, I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 21 through to 6, verse 9. One of the most controversial passages of Scripture. Yay! We've got a tough one this morning. I'm just going to read to you some of the, sort of the headlines of this passage. And some of you will listen to this and you'll go, "Oh, I don't like that." Just bear with me. Give me a chance to unpack it. Give me a chance to explain it. And we'll go from there. So, Ephesians 5, starting at verse 21. "Submit to one another in reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit to your husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only in the to win their favor, when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good you do, whether you're slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master is your master in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." What a fun passage. Isn't it great? Now, immediately, there'll be some people in this room who'll go, "Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that passage. It grates at me." Because there's some words in Scripture, aren't they, that when we hear them, you think, "Oh, I'll avoid that passage. I don't like that." And I want to take 3 to start with before we get into the bulk of this. Take the 3 main words in this passage, which probably we recoil at when we hear, which are submit, obey, and slave. What do those mean? So we hear them and we go, oh, I don't like those words. Why are they there? So submit. When we hear submit, or that someone's going to be the head of us, we immediately feel that our a sort of blatant disrespect for our human rights. It tears away our equality. We feel, oh, that doesn't sound right. Wives, submit to your husbands. What was equal rights all about? How does that work? That doesn't sound right. How can that be? But let's look at what that word submit actually means. First of all, we have to understand that this passage starts with submit to one another with reverence for Christ. This isn't just about women here. This is about all of us submitting. Submitting under Christ. So what's being said here about women to men isn't to all men, it says her own husband, but actually what's being required of this woman here in this passage is to do what she's already doing for Christ. And those of you are still going, stay with me. That word submit simply means to yield myself to someone else, to defer my will to someone else's will. Willingly to give myself voluntarily. This submission is not imposed. This is a voluntary submission. To yield to someone else. To put someone else ahead of yourself. To willingly be selfless. To give yourself to them. Now you might not like the context that this is in, but we'll come back to it in a bit. But just hold that thought. That submission is the idea of yielding or deferring to someone else. Being selfless in your action of voluntarily submitting to someone else. That word submit. Next word that's hard to get your head around is the word obey. We don't like the word obey, do we? We like to have our own rights and our own freedoms. We're not going to obey someone. Obey simply means to follow. Who are you going to follow? Who is going to be the person that you respect enough to be led by? Who are you going to submit to? To obey them, to follow them. Now, there's a major rule in this that we have to follow. You don't just blindly obey anyone. Obedience only comes in the context if the person you are following leads you into Christ. As soon as someone is not leading you into Christ, or leading you away from Christ, or asking you not to do something for Christ, then obedience stops there. Because our ultimate submission, our ultimate obedience comes to Jesus. Because he is our head. He is the one who is over us. So obedience only follows when it draws us into a closer relationship with Christ. When it honours him. It takes us away from that. We are not called to be obedient just for the sake of it. We're called to be obedient when it is right. We're called to be obedient when it leads us closer to Jesus, closer to Christ. In Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." He's speaking to the Sanhedrin, the religious people of the day, who said, "Stop preaching Jesus." He's like, "We'd like to obey you, but we can't because we have a higher authority, which is Jesus. So we will keep obeying him because his law is the law which takes precedence in my life." So we're only called to be obedient in our relationships as far as it doesn't dishonor Christ. Slaves. Ooh, this is an awkward one. So we hear that word slavery, it brings up all sorts of connotations. Not good connotations. Now you have to understand here, the way slavery is being used in this context is not the slavery that we see today. It's not the slavery that we have seen in the past. This slavery is, scholars suggest, this is about the relationship you have with your employer and an employee. You see, in New Testament times, to be a slave was a positive thing. You would willingly give yourself as a slave as a means for financial gain. It was saying, I'll become your slave in this particular household to get somewhere in this household. I'll do it so that I have a roof over my head. I have food to eat. It was like taking a job. And there's about 60 million people in the Roman Empire were slaves. And they included doctors, teachers, administrators. This wasn't just like peasant people. This was, slavery was a form of employment. And it was called slavery But it's not the slavery that we think of today. So we have to be very careful when we read slavery in the Bible, because slavery is not seen in a positive light in Scripture. When it refers to slavery, it's not talking about the slavery that we think of. It's not oppressive. It's actually a social good. In the Old Testament, slavery, you'd give yourself as a slave if you had no money. It was a means of being a welfare state. You'd give yourself for a period of time to an employer, effectively. You commit yourself to them for a set period of time. Once that time was up, you would be a free person. But it allowed you to work. It allowed you to come back into society. So it's not the negative connotation of oppression that we see. And of course, it's people who are Christians who stood up for the fact that black slavery was wrong. It was Christians who are standing up saying sex trafficking of slaves is wrong. These things are not right. And the Bible is very much against those things. Martin Luther King, as a Christian, was desperately trying to say that this is not the Christian way. Segregation of people is not the Christian way. He said there's two ways of seeing law. There is just law and there is unjust law. Just law is something which is in harmony with the moral foundations of God. And unjust law is things which are out of sync, out of harmony with the just law of God. And he said, segregation, separation of people, this damages the soul. It removes their personhood. And that is against God's moral law. This isn't being persecuted as a slave. This is slavery in the context here, as scholars suggest in this passage, is about employment. It's about work. So when we read that word slave, we have to be very careful not to misunderstand what the scripture is trying to say in this particular place. So having a bit of a background work there on three of the most horrible words there in this passage. What does this mean for us today in our relational health, in our relationships? Well, we have to go back to that verse 21. The idea that everyone has to submit under Christ. Everyone is submitting to Christ. Because actually, as we come to look at these relationships that we might have, it's all about this. Mutual submission to each other under Christ. That's what it's about. It's about that mutual submission, that mutual yielding to each other. And when we yield to Christ, when we yield to each other in submission, what comes about is shalom, the peace of God. We talk about this a lot in church, the shalom, the way things should be, the peace of God, not just an absence of war, but the fullness of being, things as they should be. For me, this passage is suggesting that when we live in harmony with each other, when we live in mutual submission to each other, there comes about harmony. When we submit to each other as under Christ, there becomes a harmony in our relationships. The problem with it is this passage has been abused so much, particularly by men who have been trying to persecute women, that we have a very negative view of the word submission. But as Christians, we are all called to submit to Christ. We are all living here, if we are in Christ, under the submission of Christ. So it's not a negative term, it's a positive term. It's a yielding to Him, a yielding to each other. Being prepared to put that other person first, that shalom. King David, in tradition, was said to have the Star of David. We have that Star of David on his shield as a sign of shalom, a sign of peace, a sign of saying, I am under Christ. And when I'm under Christ, He is my shield. He is my fortress. He is my protection. He is the one who will bring about His good. He would bring about that shalom, bring everything as it should be. What's that got to do with our relationships, though? Well, it's simple. We submit to each other because we have first submitted to Christ. Christ as our lead, as our ultimate authority, which means everything we do for Him. So in our marriage relationship, you love your wife, you love your husband out of submission to Christ. You do it for Him. It's like loving Christ. Parents, when you engage your children, you're doing it for Christ. When you bring up your children, you're doing it for Christ. Children, when you honour your parents, you're doing it for Christ. When you honour the person that you work for or the people that you employ, you're doing it as if for Christ. Is that our attitude? Are we sat here today with our husband or our wife going, I want to treat you as I would treat Christ? I come here and I give time to sing lovely songs to Jesus, but would I come and love you that way? Would I come and submit myself to you that way? That's what this passage is suggesting for us. That need to be under Christ and to love each other as Christ loves us. In that early time, in the Greek period, there were lots of people who wrote about a household code. How should the household look like? What should it be like? And so you had lots of codes of practice which said, you know, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, you're the head of the household. And what Paul does, he takes these codes of practice and he subverts them and he brings them into a Christian context. And what he says is this. And he's speaking primarily to husbands because husbands were seen as the leader in their household, the head of their household. So he's saying to them, listen, wives, you submit to your husbands as you would under Christ. But husbands, this doesn't mean to say that you have power over your wife. Because he says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. What does that look like? Well, loving like Christ loved looks like this. It's the cross. And so when men try and abuse this passage in the past, and they sort of said, well, why would you submit to me? It's saying they only have any right to submit to you when you are loving like Christ. And Christ's love is sacrificial. It sacrifices everything that you are for that other person. Everything that you are. And this is the context of how followership and leadership work in the Bible. Now, whether you want to apply it to your relationship or not is up to you. But it applies the same in the life of the church. So, I am the head of the church, you want to call it that? What do? I spend my life sacrificially giving to this church. If I just went, I don't really like you guys, and walked off, you wouldn't have any respect for me to follow me. You submit into this life of the church. As a member of the church, we submit to each other in the life of this church. We sacrifice to each other in the life of this church. So leadership only has any leadership bearing under Christ when it is sacrificial leadership. When it's sacrificial love being shown. When it puts the needs of the other people first. And then to honour that sacrifice is to submit and say, I want to yield to that love because I see what you've done and I want to yield to that and I want to honour that in submission. So husbands, you sacrificially love your wife. You do everything you possibly can for them. You give up everything that you might want for their sake because it's not about you. And wives, you honour your husband in that way by submitting, by yielding to them, by honouring that decision before them. See, it's mutual submission. It's mutual sacrifice. It's coming together and saying, I want the best for you. And that's what the community should be. That's what the church should be as we come together. But particularly in these relationships, though. So a parent, what do you do as a parent? You give up lots of your money, lots of your time, lots of yourself to do what? To bring up your child. You sacrificially of yourself to bring up your child. That is loving like Christ loves. So children are called to honour their parents and say, actually, I recognise that God's put you as the head of the house. You're the leader in this household. And therefore, I'm going to honour you by submitting to your authority, by submitting to you and say, actually, I will do what you've asked me to do. That submission. And it says it honours Christ. It isn't a power play. It's about the mutual submission that parents love their children. Children love their parents. And in your work life, you work as if you're working for God. You do it as if you're working for Christ. So to your employer, are you sacrificially submitting to them? Or do you think, what can I get away with at work? What can I pinch from the store cupboard? What can I do? Or actually being integral and honouring them as if you're working for Christ. I used to work in a chip shop. I've told you this story many times before. I used to work in a chip shop, which I hated, absolutely hated that job. And I would sit there, and I would be in the chip shop, and I'd be working away, hating every minute of it. And I'd have to remind myself, and I'd sing an Ishmael song. Now, Ishmael's a Christian songwriter for kids. And I used to sing some of his songs in my head because they're scripture verses. And one of them was, whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart. Whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart. Then you'll agree, Colossians 3:23, it's like working for the Lord and not for men. I used to sing that in my head as this kid's song constantly as I'm there serving chips going, I hate this job, I hate this job. And going, I'm doing this for Jesus, so I will wrap chips the best I can. I will make a kebab the best way I can. Why? Because I'm doing it for him. I'm doing it for him. And when that is our mentality, that everything we do in our relationships is doing it for Jesus, that changes how we approach things. So when we fly off the handle at each other, would you fly off the handle at God that way? Do you want to be seen that way? Do you want to? How are you going to honour God in your relationships together? See, there's only one principle today, which I'm hoping you're getting, which is that in our relationships, we have to submit and sacrifice with each other. That's today's relational principle. How are we going to submit and sacrifice to each other? Putting the needs of other people first for the sake of Jesus, because that honours him. I love the fact that Paul takes the family and models it on our relationship with Christ. So we submit to Jesus. He is our head. He is our lead. He gave himself for us. He says, so in the family, model that out. Parents, be like Jesus. Love your children sacrificially. Children, be like children of God. Honor your parents. Whatever you do, honor each other in this sacrificial way of being loved. And then what happens is shalom breaks out. So when we're all putting the needs of each other first, shalom breaks out. The presence of God breaks out. Acts 2, lovely passage about church that we all love and adore. And we all go, isn't that utopian and wonderful? And we go, my church isn't like that. What happens is there was no need amongst them. They all gave of themselves. They all gave what they had for the purposes of each other. And what happens is miracles break out. The shalom of God breaks out. Things as they should be break out. And people see it and go, that's incredible. That's incredible. Are we going to submit to each other? I just want to give you one visual illustration maybe to take away with you. I need to see how good my drawing skills are this morning now. But it's this idea of the Star of David, the shalom that we can have. That our relationships aren't called to be like this, one person over someone else. And our relationships aren't called to be equal either in the way that they're not meant to be, side by side. What they're called to be is like this. That mutual submission. See, the Star of David, that sign of peace, is saying it's that mutual respect for each other. It's not one person over someone else. It's not a utopian equality. It's a submission. Because equality says, I have rights. It's all about me. And I'm just as good as you are. But submission says, I want the best for you. And when that is reciprocated, that is a powerful, powerful thing to understand. So it's the Star of David, as that picture of shalom, that picture of submission, of sacrifice for each other. Let that be the way that you live your relationships. Whether that be in your family, whether that be at work. Honor each other as if you're doing it for Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would honour you in everything. That, Lord, we would learn to submit more to you so that we can learn to submit more to each other. That, Lord, we can honour each other with sacrificial love. Leading one another with the love of Christ. Following each other with submission under you. Lord, I pray that our relationships would grow, that our relationships would prosper under you. Lord, I pray for marriages in this church, that you would bless them and they would grow and they would be awesome before you. Lord, I pray that our relationships with our parents and children would be awesome in the life of this church under you. Lord, as we work under employers or as we employ other people, Lord, I pray that we would be integral to that. Lord, we would do it not working for man, but working for you. Lord, let us make a difference by the way we live, by the way that we choose to submit and sacrifice before each other. Amen. Amen.